Hello and welcome to Side Dish, your podcast about Longmont. Everything you want to know and very little that you need to know. I am one of your hosts, Brady Stuff. I'm joined by
Annie Larner.
There she is. That's it.
I just pointed.
And today we're joined by
Macy May
of
the Longmont Leader,
the Macy May.
The Macy May.
I mean, it's a really good name. I was thinking about that on my way here. So that's a good name.
Thank you. It is definitely a very popular name.
Is
everyone,
it?
Everyone, well, not popular as in people have it, but popular as in everyone loves it.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah,
it rings.
I'm just going to go off on a side note here. I was recently deemed the Queen of Longmont by this guy I'm seeing. This is a whole story. Our first date, he comes to Longmont, and I was like, cool, let me plan this date. Yeah. We start off at Dryland, and I walk in. I haven't been to Dryland in a little while, just saying, you know, just finally getting back out there. And Nels comes out and says hello to me. Glenn, the bartender, comes and says hello to me. I know everyone in the place. Yeah. And this guy I'm seeing is kind of a big deal in other worlds where
hockey,
he's not a big deal in hockey, but he likes to play. But he has like his own comedy show, and he's used to the spotlight. He loves the spotlight, and he's not used to being shown up. So now he's like created this whole story, and then he tells his friends, and then he just gave me this nickname. So I'm just like, okay, I'm just not going to fight it anymore.
We've had the unofficial king and the unofficial queen.
King of Longmont. Come on. Someone who we ended up dubbing the King of Longmont.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Who was that?
His name's Keith Ryan. Also a great name, too, actually.
Yeah.
Keith Ryan. Yeah. And we did a lot of that.
You have to have a good name to have royalty in Longmont.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Keith's solid. I was giving him some stick at the holiday party. If he checks in on this, I hope I didn't give you too much stick. Keith, you're great.
That's impossible.
It was funny because he's like, I'm going to go outside for a minute. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, you want to come along? And I'm like, no, Doc, I'm going home.
It's like
9 o'clock. I'm out of here. Pump the brakes, my dude. I got to go home. I'm going to go home and have like my drink, and I'm going to just sit, and that's it.
Well, we're proud of you for being out that late.
Yeah, I left the house. It's great.
Well, welcome, Macy May, Queen of Longmont, to Side Dish. I can't believe we haven't had you on yet. Like, I actually, when I called, this is the story, when I called Macy to ask her to, we talked about Side Dish, and I asked her to come beyond, and I was like, but I know you've already been on Side Dish, you know, before my time. And she goes, I don't think so. I said, impossible that you've never been on Side Dish.
No,
that's impossible.
No, just always conflicting schedules.
That's crazy.
Eric's invited me several times, and then I think he forgot he invited me, or I forgot.
Yeah.
It was always something.
Oh, wow.
So this is great to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Sweet. Well, you got any buzz around town?
Yeah, I got some buzz. I'm looking at, because I do the Blue Sky.
Also, wait, Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Oh, and shout out to everybody who came to the event, the live event.
Yeah,
that's
totally.
Turned out great.
And we actually got it, you know.
It was better.
It was an improvement. The recording part of it, in terms of like the recording part and the listening, I think it was an improvement from last time. We have even more room for improvement.
It would have been an improvement if I just yelled out random thoughts.
Because
the first time was
anything.
Tragic. It turned out really well. I'm going back because I post all my stuff on the Blue Sky these days.
Yep.
That's where I keep my notes. I do a little posting. One of them that I thought was funny.
Should they, with Blue Sky, by the way, this might be a journalism question for Macy. Should they say Blue Sky, comma, kind of like Twitter, comma, and go on, since now they have to be like X, comma, formerly Twitter,
yeah,
comma. Like, how long do they have to do that in journalism?
What,
like, when
branding.
Will that retire? We all get it. Thank you. Thanks for the reminder.
Yeah, but what a branding decision.
It will retire when everyone knows that it changed.
How's that determined?
And it could be years.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, I think
it's one of the branding, just like the weirdest things to do. Like, Twitter is known around the world as Twitter. It's only Twitter. And then one of 26 letters in the alphabets grabbed at random because he had the domain or whatever. And it's
I think it's random because it's on brand with SpaceX. It's like part of the conglomerate, if you will.
Anyway, don't forget to salt your pasta.
Okay, well, Blue Sky, comma, kind of like Twitter, comma.
Find me. I'm the rescue toaster Tretnine.bisky.
Brady's. Normally we would be like allergic to this kind of like promo, except that like we're really proud of Brady because he's doing social media and he's putting it out there and he's like trying to share stuff about Longmont. So we're all
I'm just saying get
it.
Some engagement. I like I chat with the people. I like, you know, I finally get the likes. I post some stuff. Anyway, this guy says, don't forget to salt your pizza water when you make dinner tonight. And then he's got a slice of pizza in some boiling water.
What? I don't get it.
It's a meme. It's funny. I love it. If you like it, whatever. If you want to find me, come find me. If you need a code to get onto Blue Sky, hit me up. I got a few extras. Otherwise, I think it's going like public soon enough. So let's see. I got some news. A woman was bitten by her kitten. Macy, did you hear this one?
No, but there's a lot of women who have been bitten by kittens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
There was actually, this is a story that I've kind of made up in my head because I've not fallen through on it. But okay. There's often, I do the police report typically almost every day, no longer do it on the weekends. but for years, there was about every 2 or 3 months, this woman who would get bit by a cat and then the cat would be quarantined within the home. And I always just imagine that this is like some ongoing war between this woman and this cat. And I don't know that it's the same woman and cat, but that's the story I made up in my head because it entertained me.
Yeah.
That is so funny.
8:14 a.m., a Longmont woman was bitten while playing with her kitten at the 1300 block of Merrill Place. The kitten has been placed in quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
So you pretty much nailed it. I think the police were called. It's like the reason.
No. The thing is if you have to go to the hospital or a doctor because of an animal bite, they report it to the police.
Okay.
So that's why at random people just you hear about
it's so
them
funny
because
it's like
kitten.
Yeah, that's just make the paper that one. Small town drama.
Yeah. Macy, have you done crime reporting in other cities besides Longmont in your career?
Yes.
How does it fare?
As far as
like compare
the intensity
compare?
And things?
Yeah, whatever, well, anything, any takes.
So for a while, I was doing in Broomfield, and Broomfield had some pretty strange, scary things happening, like some stabbings and bigger murders that happened. I think because it's closer to Denver. But as far as like overall, I think Longmont, you know, is mostly things like theft and well, fraud's a big one.
A lot of car break-ins,
yeah. Auto stuff, DUIs, random warrant arrests, like random encounters. Well, it seems random to me because there's not
like
a
someone
story.
Wanders to Longmont and they happen to have a warrant and they just arrest them, or like
there's just entries where it's a warrant arrest and you don't really hear why that person's come in contact with the police, but then all of a sudden in the report it just says, oh, and they were arrested or whatever. For multiple warrants or you know, whatever. So, yeah, there's that kind of thing. But you don't know what the warrants are for, which they could be very minor things or they could be very major things. You just
those things just really, they eat me up. Like, what happened?
Yeah.
I want to know.
Yeah.
Why'd you post this? I'd be happier just not knowing anything.
But honestly, like, following up on some of that stuff is, it becomes like this, you're like, okay, this was not worth my moment of email because this isn't really there.
Yeah, it's just underwhelming when you finally do crack it.
Pause. I feel like your vocals just went out a little bit.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Sorry. Right, yeah, I heard something
that
weird.
That mic is, I think that's the one that's got the dicky like thing. Oh. Yeah, you gotta be a little careful. Just don't.
I won't touch anything.
Yeah, don't. I can't help myself. I'm like.
I know. Yeah, we're both pretty movie.
Yeah, blow this place
emotional.
To pieces.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Well, I was just, you know. I don't know. Just I was in my head, the story I craft for myself is that crime in Longmont is just like not, we don't have a lot of crime here. It's a pretty safe town and the stuff that we deal with is pretty petty overall. Like we don't, it's nothing like maybe it used to be. And I don't know. It's just funny because it's like it's so safe here and you can let your kids wander out and like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. And, you know, back when, Mike Butler was public safety chief. That was his mission, right? Like he did a huge thing about going into the public and really creating community and in order to lessen the crimes. Because we did have, you know, prior to him, big gang activity, things like that. And it's just over the years has kind of dwindled.
Is it true that gang activity is back in Longmont right now after like that long hiatus when they got rid of all gangs during Mike Butler's like rain or whatever,
Well, I believe there. I mean, there have been stories that have seemed to be gang related or accused of being gang related. It's hard for police to always say that because, you know, it could be a one-off thing. Just because somebody is maybe affiliated with a gang doesn't mean it was gang related. So there's a lot of like nuance to crime for sure. But I think like all crime, it ebbs and flows. And COVID was a huge impact on crime in general. Like everybody decided we're going to start stealing everything. And
let's go break it. Yeah, there was the West Side Tavern.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were like broken into twice. It's security cameras and stuff. It's crazy. They installed some stuff and they posted some stuff on the socials. It's like, nice. But yeah, it was just random stuff. A lot of break-ins and...
Yeah.
Well, I got nothing to do, and I'm supposed to self-quarantine. I might as well break in when nobody's home, you know, that kind of thing.
Collision Brewery, you know, over by Sandstone Ranch had something very similar happen, and I think somebody stole, like, their outdoor fireplace, of all things.
I could imagine, like, could you imagine, though, it's COVID? Like, you don't want to go, you're broke, you're not working, and you're like, I could use a fire pit.
Exactly.
I want to go lift one from the brewery.
You just jogged my memory about a correction I need to make. Last time on the podcast, I mentioned that Outworld Brewing was like closing and moving, but I talked about it being in Prospect. So I just had the wrong brewery.
Yeah.
It was Primitive Beer, which is what's in Prospect. Not Outworld. Outworld's out there by Collision or whatever. But the listener was my sister. She was like, Annie, you got that like wrong. That is not the right brewery. I was like, oh yeah, it's Primitive.
What are you doing?
Anyway, Primitive Beer is the one that will be closing.
R.I.P. R.I.P. in pieces.
All right. Rest right, exactly. So what else?
So we got TJ Fridays closes.
In Longmont?
Yeah.
Wow.
Have you ever been?
Yes.
Not in Longmont.
A couple of times.
Yeah.
Is it?
Just like maybe in the airport once.
I mean, the food is TJ Fridays. It's, you know, American food.
So
depending on whether or not you like that.
Microwaved like Applebee's style and
Something like that. Okay. But it it's okay if you want American food and it lives up to its hype.
Well, there's some big vacancies though. That will have to be something else. Although there's some decent food in that whole Harvest Junction area.
Yeah, they're doing better over there.
They actually have some pretty decent stuff out there.
I only know TGI Fridays as like a meme from like Super Troopers and from whatever the other one is.
I always think of The Office.
An Office Space where they're like, go to Tchotchke's.
Oh, Tchotchke's. And on The Office, Steve loved. I think that's where they did the Dundies was at the Fridays.
Yeah, that one happened. So, and then speaking of crime, recently a man was cited after shooting his assault rifle into the ground of the Airbnb that he rented. And he's like, nah, that wasn't me. But apparently he did it like on Instagram or something.
Oh.
And so he I don't even know, like, I want to tell people not to, but I'm just happy when people do profoundly stupid things. And then, I didn't do that. And it's like, it's on your social media, dude. Like, there's a video of you.
Yeah, don't record yourself doing stupid stuff. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I've got a little restaurant news. This is actually just an update. You know how I always talk about the Sushi Leo being the guy that was Sushi Toro?
Yeah.
I think that was, like, super original because I got a quick update from our, you know, sort of affiliate restaurant expert.
Nina?
No, what's wrong with us right now?
I don't know.
Well, Longmont Dish is the handle, and it's
yeah. So anyway,
Naomi. Thank you, Naomi. Anyway, Naomi said, "Well, they're doing like a ribbon cutting, so I don't know why they're doing a ribbon cut through the chamber, which usually you do that as like an update of something." But it did sell last summer to new ownership. It was this woman, Ashley, who's super sweet. She sold it to this some other guy, so maybe he's doing a ribbon cutting as a result of that. But anyway, check it out. She did happen to say they raised prices and cut quantities. However, we'll have to see if it's any different taste-wise or if they're doing a lot of the same recipes. But there is new ownership at Sushi Leo.
Okay.
That was one. And then the other one I wanted to shout out that I haven't been to but everyone's raving about is in Lyons, Farah. It's like this Mexican, like it's kind of like Elevated Mexican again, like I think Rosa Cantina or whatever. And I've heard it's awesome.
Yeah, if it's anything close to Rosa Cantina, it's going to be amazing. Rosa Cantina is amazing.
I don't know. No, I want tacos.
You ever go to Rosa Cantina?
I have not.
Go to Rosa Cantina. It's up on like 23rd or whatever.
Go tonight.
Like Pistachios.
Oh, yeah. No, I recently saw that and I thought,
it's super good. It's
got to be on the list. I think I saw it before they had actually opened their doors. So
yeah,
I will.
It's good stuff. It's a destination. I ate there.
It's super legit.
Yeah, okay. just like on a week or two ago. Yeah, it was really good. The Longmont Sub informs that the old COSOL building, this was hot.
Really. Say that again?
The old COSOL building is becoming a Regis workspace. So there you go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. That's Regis. And I wonder what they're doing, because my understanding of the Regis model, well, whatever. That's boring.
Great sideline. We don't need to get into that.
Well, you know, COSOL was there and left all these like poor, you know, co-working refugees, and they closed kind of seemingly overnight, and then they finally got these guys opened back up there. So that's a big deal that Regis came here. We need that downtown. Mm-hmm. But that's a very corporate, you know,
well,
you co-working kinda, like occupant. So
you got the model, make it work. You know, I think there's plucky ones like what the Minister Money Mustache place has got. They got a sort of place.
Plucky ones, mm-hmm. Nicely said. Yeah, there's that. There's Elevate co-working upstairs, mm-hmm. from the old Livia Bella that's been Bricks Retail now. And yeah, to get that corporate, I mean, we're not industrious level or WeWork, but Regis is pretty legit. So I'll be really curious to see what their prices are and how that, you know, attracts groups right that on. Are down. There's definitely people looking for, you know, single
Well, this is the thing
space
that we've talked
downtown.
About a lot, because we're looking for a new office space with,
right.
with my org. And it's like, well, how much do you need? And how much of this and that? And like, who's coming in? And how many days are people really going to come in? Because you work from home. I stay at home in my cave. I'm a shut-in. Like, what do you want? I come do this once a week. That's good. I'm fine. Otherwise, I can just phone it in.
Yeah.
Literally. Just bing, yeah. bing. Hey, yeah. Actually, I use Zoom. But whatever. So we've got that. I talked to Annette the other day. Bumped into her, we'll walk
oh, yeah. So Annette, former guest that was on here, she's the gal who lives in Brady's neighborhood. I'm trying to remember what. She was the one who came from Menlo Park.
Menlo Park, yep.
She came from, like, the future.
And she said, I've got some warnings from Christmas future. Like, think about right. how you're growing, because it can get worse.
Yes.
So she was saying that she was crossing the street. I think she said she was crossing the street at, like, Hoover.
Okay.
And she's like, geez, somebody blew through their light when they were turning, and they didn't even see me, and I almost got hit. And yeah. And it's like, well, you know, like, if we want to have a better light situation, you know, you got to do something about that. But I will say, like, if you're crossing there, you're basically giving the finger to death, because you're just like, hey, man, come and get it, you know, like, I'm right here. Because, like, Hover or 119, like, any of that stuff's just like, it's really hard to get across. It's hard. And this is a constant grouse, going to grouse again. We could do better with, like, pedestrian traffic and bicycle traffic. We got families that like to run around on e-bikes and stuff. And like, how are you going to get across town? How are you going to get groceries?
Yeah.
You want to go on 9th with yeah. your kids?
Huh?
Really? Take your life in your own hands? Take your kid's life in your own hands? In your little basket in the back or whatever?
Yeah, nobody wants that.
No.
Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that.
That is a big, big topic. But at the same time, like, it's not all about, like, building new infrastructure. It's also about us just driving better.
Well, it's about that, but like,
if we drive
protected
better.
Bike lanes for all. That's
yeah.
what I got to say.
No, that's definitely something that has been in the conversation in the city for a very long time. Very long time, the conversation.
It's my persistent grouse. I invite others to grouse about it as well.
Yeah, there are many who would join you. You could have a whole podcast yeah. on nothing but grousing about traffic. And
we've
Longmont.
Had listeners make that very suggestion.
Basically, what this show is complaining about traffic. Do you know the Home Depot? The Home Depot.
I don't complain
you turn
about
left
traffic
over anywhere. You can't turn left on.
I discuss
anywhere.
Traffic. I don't complain about
I
traffic.
Complain about traffic. I complain
just,
about.
You shan't. You don't even go out in traffic. I'm in traffic every single day.
I go in traffic. I don't go see people, but I go places.
Apparently, he goes to Home Depot.
And Home Depot, Rosa yeah. Cantina, occasionally wash the dogs. I wash the dogs.
Dog wash.
Yeah, the dog wash. Got yeah. that. If you've got your Christmas tree, you're not sure what to do with it.
Oh,
apparently,
yeah. Christmas tree drop-ups, obligatory announcement. Let's
apparently,
hear it.
You can give them to Frizzle Farm. I don't know how many they actually want, but I was on the Facebook of all things. Wouldn't recommend, necessarily. You wade into some things when you go there. It was a bit weird, but Hannah Gardner of Frizzle Farms said, hello, our goats at Frizzle Farms would love your Christmas tree. If you're looking for a place to dispose of your
really?
Trees, please message. Yeah. And then
they want them.
And then, yeah, I didn't even know they observed Christmas. But if you, I'm recycling jokes that I used on the internet because nobody reads them.
That's okay. No, it's great. Keep going.
But then I saw another one. There was somebody else who was like, yeah, if you have trees, our goats want them. So if you want to.
So, but literally for the goats.
Yeah, for the goats. Two different posts I saw on an internet when I went today. There was somebody that was like, yeah, go ahead and give it. I don't know if they eat the needles.
But did you announce the Longmont City Longmont drop-offs?
No. I thought the goats thing was funny.
Do you know it, Macy?
You
it
dig
is funny.
For that. You dig for that. I also want to give a shout out to some intrepid hero on Facebook who put together a Google map of Longmont's taco trucks.
Oh, that's brilliant.
That sounds amazing.
That's great.
Good. Yeah.
Okay.
So this one's solid. I don't even know how to
put it. We'll remember to put that in the show notes.
Yeah, I could just send that to you.
I always say I'm going to do that and I forget.
This is, map /D/U/0/.
It's like, is it an updated map? Like,
I don't know. He said, if you got more, let me know. I don't know how long this guy's going to keep this up. This should become like a public domain thing where people.
But it's like, how does he track them? Because they move. They're on the go. That's the whole point.
There's quite a few that sit in the same
consistent
spot.
Okay.
Because there's like 5280 or whatever is down there by the jars place. Mm-hmm. And then there's a bunch that you see in the same spot. So I don't know.
Macy, do you have a favorite food truck?
I do not. But I recently just had to completely change my entire diet. So I'm gluten-free and soy-free, which means I basically eat nothing but unprocessed
vegetables. That's hard to go out. Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. It really is. So all of my favorites are on the maybe list until I figure out what they
have. Huge endorsement for Mexican food.
Oh, okay.
Yep, Mexican food and
except for soy oil, the oil.
Yeah, you don't know about the oil.
Sometimes the oil, yeah.
But you can, yeah, if you're cooking at home. Because I'm gluten free, not by choice. But
me either.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things. Where it's like I wouldn't do this by choice. But Mexican food and soy, probably to a lesser extent, but a lot of Asian stuff with rice, you can get pretty good.
Yeah.
Big Rex there. What else we got?
Okay, real quick. You can recycle your tree through the city of Longmont through January 7th, which is not very long from now, at Roosevelt Park, Garden Acres Park, Kanemoto Park, and Centennial Park.
I did just see a dude walking the dog. Because we got the loner dog again, Luca, the three-legged spud. I call her spud because she's kind of potato-shaped.
Nice.
And my wife called her Sweet Potato, which I thought was the cutest little derivation of that, but I've been calling her Mrs. Sputtersworth and Sputterly because my cat's name is, well, I call her Butterly. So I've got Butterly and Sputterly in the house right now, which I think are both pretty funny. I can't call anybody by their name, so everybody gets a nickname. And then there's a bunch of stuff that happened legislatively. So the plastic shopping bag thing that's hitting the streets, that's out there, that's out in the real world. That's a thing you got to face now.
It's wild.
Figure out where to get your own poop bags.
Yeah.
For your dogs.
Well, yeah, I was at Target just last night and they had nothing.
Nothing?
No plastic bags.
Man, this is like, I'll say it as somebody with solid ADHD, that's so hard to remember to take your bags. I get in there and I'm like, what car am I driving? Where's anything? So
yeah, you're gonna need to just put bags in your car.
What we have in the car that I go in and it's like,
I do this too. It's just they just sit there. They just sit in the car, and then I'm in the store thinking they're out in my car, but my arms are full already. What do I do with this?
Right, you just put it down and hope nobody grabs it. Right, or you feel like a jerk because you're like, I'll just leave this little basket here full of my stuff and walk away for 10 minutes and go get my bags.
Yeah,
or you walk out looking like you just looted the place, right. Which is usually the way I go.
This is legit.
I have more receipts. Like usually, I like to decline the receipts because I can do it digitally otherwise. So now I'm always like holding the receipt so everyone can see, and while walking out, like I looted the place. Yeah,
that's classic. I never minded when I'd forget because I'd get like one or two bags worth, and then again with two dogs and a cat, and then occasionally an extra dog from one of the family members as they're passing through. Like we go through them, but now we got to buy them. So that was like my in-laws gave us dog poop bags for Christmas, which, you know, I've done worse.
Solid.
I've done worse. Minimum wage is going up. New protections for renters with pets. If you need an EpiPen, that should only cost you $60 now. That's actually pretty solid. I'm not going to get into that one. Bigger fines for trucks that speed down steep grades. Getting into the weeds here. The hot stuff that people are going to be talking about all year.
As the unofficial producer, I might pivot because this is good, but I really want to get into some stuff with Macy
because
I'm so
on.
Excited to have you here. Okay. So this was your project, right? Longmont Leader. And I'm going to just intro it a little bit and then we're going to get you talking, not me, but started as Longmont Observer, right? Yeah. You started it. You have run this puppy and you're still running this puppy. And we just kind of want to give us the snapshot of the history of the Longmont Leader, where it started and where it's come from.
Well, it actually started with Sergio Angeles.
Wow.
And Scott Converse.
So Sergio is the executive director of Longmont Public Media from where we record.
And Scott Converse helped also co-found Longmont Public public media, and I did as well. But yeah, back in 2017, the Times Call consolidated their offices and moved everyone to a warehouse in Boulder and kind of left Longmont wanting more from news. So they got together, and in a few weeks, months, something like that later, I jumped in as editor. And when we started, there was nothing. And then it just slowly grew and grew and grew. We had other people.
What year was this?
2017.
Okay. Sorry, probably said that.
No worries. And, you know, just it was a community effort. Everybody in town who wanted to be a part of the news got a chance to be part of the news. You volunteered your time, you wrote some stories, and likely they got published. And that's just how it all grew together. When we created Longmont Public Media, the choice had to be made then. What are we going to do with The Observer? You know, we all had spent 3 years at that point building this newspaper. And that's when McClatchy stepped in and said, hey, we have some funding from a Google initiative. Let us take over. And then that came down to me making a really hard decision because we'd only had Longmont Public Media going for about 5 months. And so I thought, oh, I'll stick with it. And then I was like, no, I really miss the news. So I went and became the editor of what became the Longmont Leader, which is where we are today. And I've stuck around with that since.
And why the name change?
Well, because McClatchy had taken over and they wanted to rebrand and make it their own thing. So that was their corporate decision.
Okay. And you were like, at that moment, initially you stayed with Longmont Public Media, mm-hmm. but then later missed writing and journalism that side of it?
It was within like 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Longmont Leader had not even launched yet. I was still running it as the Longmont Observer in addition to working at Longmont Public Media. So I was doing both things at the same time. And they had someone they thought would come and be an editor for them. And then that person dropped off the map. And I said, you know what? I'm going to take that job if you're good with that. And they said, absolutely. We couldn't do it without you.
So what's your background? How'd you get into media and editing and writing as a fellow writer? How did you?
It's funny because I did not go to journalism school.
Me neither.
Yeah. I did not. I went and actually studied a degree. My degree is called Letters. It's not just the alphabet. Mm. It's a culmination of a whole bunch of other things. But I was a Latin teacher for a long time. And so grammar became my thing. Right. And then I stayed at home with my boys because they have autism. And that took a lot of commitment. And then they got into school and I was bored and said, I'm going to go do something else. I thought about just, you know, creating my own business, editing business. But I didn't know anyone. No one knew who I was. And so I found The Observer with Sergio and Scott and said, okay, I can do editing here. My plan was 2 months. Like literally that was all I was going to give to this. But the thing was that it became this avenue for me to build community. And I started getting to know Longmont. And this is literally the biggest town I've ever lived in, which 100,000 people sounds small to a lot of other people. But for me,
I grew up in a town of 13.5. So it's like,
I got you beat because like I come from a town that's literally half my family. The other half's been there just as long. There's about 100 people in that town.
Is there a bar or a gas station?
I'm sorry?
Is there a bar or a gas station?
There used to be a gas station until I got hit by a semi truck and then the guy retired. Yeah.
Where is
this? This is out in the panhandle of Oklahoma. It's a little town called Optima. If you drive by it, you'll and blink, you'll never know you even missed it.
Right.
Yeah. So,
what brought you to Longmont?
At the time, I was married, and my now ex-husband got a job in Boulder, so we relocated our family, and that was just the search of which schools do you put the kids in and all that. And so Longmont won.
Nice.
So you started. It's funny because I studied French, not Latin, and then some Spanish and tiny amount of German. Annie's got me pretty well beat on that one. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, well, what do I do with this? It's like, well, I like words, and I wonder if it's the same because it's like I'm passionate about words and language, and then you wind up just steeping in it, and you're like, well, the grammar, and I never understood grammar in like eighth grade. Put triangles around your prepositions and underline the prepositional phrases. Like, what the? It's a preposition.
Yeah.
You can't make me do it. You know, that was, it was cool. And then now.
Yeah. Ironically, when I was in elementary school and things, I hated to read. Mm-hmm. I was a horrible reader. And like, I actually dropped out. Like, I was going to be a lawyer. And I took a class that said, well, it was mock trial, and I couldn't finish the book in time. And I was like, I can't represent somebody and have them go to jail or whatever because I can't read fast enough. Like, I totally ran away from the whole profession because of it, which now is ironic that that's all I do with my day, like, is read all day, all the time, just read. And I don't, you know, I love it. And yeah, same with grammar. Like, I was horrible in early school, but putting it into a different language, especially Latin, where it's like Legos, and it just changed the entire way of looking at language.
Yeah, studying, I'd say getting relatively fluent in another language is a great way to understand your own, because it really, like, you build it from the ground up, and then you understand it, you can take it apart. And then you wind up with people asking, like, super weird questions. Like, I got this question that was like, oh, if it's an initialism that ends in an S, like, how do you know, what's the possessive and what's the, like, how do you do, like, a possessive plural? Like, it's like, oh, hold on, I gotta get my Chicago Manual style worked out. Right. Find the closest thing to that, because that doesn't ever come up. So it's, you wind up with some crazy stuff, and it can be really fun to learn those rules and then forget them. But, you know, like, it's super nerdy and it's enjoyable. And then, yeah. And then journalism, I imagine, is much more like, where, like, what I do is nerdy, sit in a cave, write a thing to a person, they read it and they say yes or no. Journalism, you get to go out in the community, you get to build community, you get to see people, you get to understand what's happening. Must be a really nice outlet for, like, that sort of skill set.
Yeah, well, I love it. I love, again, what has kept me here is being able to tell other people's stories. Like, you know, I do the city council stuff because you have to. That's part of the job. I do the crime stuff because you have to. But what I love is getting to talk to those people and tell a story that no one's ever going to hear, and then really, like, bring in that emotion. And I mean, I've sat with people and cried because their stories are so touching. And then I feel horrible whenever, like, I'm trying to write it and I know I'm not, like, I feel like I'm missing it, right? Like, there's something always lost in translation. But no, that it is a great outlet to get to know your community. It's a great outlet to get to meet new people and hear these interesting stories, or just talk to them, even if you never write a story. It's so much fun to just learn who my neighbors are.
Mm-hmm.
So you got this funding from Google, and that was, like, a project, wasn't it, where Google was funding a bunch of local journalism was, across the country?
Yeah, it was supposed to be up to three, and we had a sister paper in Ohio called Mahoning Matters. So it was kind of nice having somebody else in the same world as us. But yeah, eventually that all kind of came to a crashing halt. COVID hit. McClatchy, within months of taking over, went through bankruptcy. And they vowed not to close any newsrooms, which they did not. They kept their promise. But they didn't know what to do with us because we were technically part of what they would consider an innovation branch and not their newsroom branch.
Hmm.
So at the time, like, our website has been built by a company in Canada called Village Media. They were looking to expand to the U.S., in fact, into Colorado. And they just said, well, hey, you don't want to do with them. Let us have them. And so they bought Longmont and took over at the beginning of 2021, and they've been with us since.
And so are you funded through advertisement, like traditional media, or are they funding you?
So there's another, right now we're under another initiative. I believe this one's called Showcase. They change all the time, but it is the same concept. You know, Google and Facebook and all of these other big entities have put money back into journalism because they're partly to blame for why advertising dollars have dried up. We have a community leaders partnership program that, like, right now our CLP partner is Nextlight, and so we write a story every month that they get to pick a category. So, like, Nextlight chose Inspire, which is looking at Longmont's youth and the leaders in that group and what they are doing to change our community, our world, or whatever they're changing. So, you know, that's where that kind of comes from. Some dollars come from that. We do have some advertising that goes on, but it's not by any means like our bread and butter. It's there as a supplement, and we get our money from other places.
Wow, interesting model. I had no idea.
Yeah, that's changing quite a lot, honestly, because anymore, small businesses, especially like in a town like Longmont, they can't afford to do that. And many of them just do their own advertising.
Right.
And marketing is so much easier to do by yourself. You no longer need news to do that.
Right, right.
So the news industry has to look other places for funding.
And are your writers just mostly freelancers? Is that how it works?
At this point, yes. We had a team, and it's all had to dwindle down because those dollars, while there are some available, aren't always available. And so now it's just me back to square one where we started with Sergio and Scott. At some point, those two had to move on to other things. And I was running it almost 7 years ago by myself, and I'm back to doing it again by myself.
But you've got some help if you need from freelancers.
Yeah,
and I know what you're doing.
Yeah, I do have a team, a few freelancers, and they definitely save me all the time with some fun stories that I don't get to go out and do because
you can't cover all the kittens these days.
I try. They're just everywhere. Yeah, no, it becomes a lot.
Yeah, I imagine. And there is like a lot of weird small town stuff here that happens and you might not catch it, and then hopefully other people can.
Yeah, when we had to dwindle our newsroom down, like it was really difficult for me for a long time to wrap my head around the fact that you're just going to miss news. There's just some things you cannot cover because you can't by yourself do everything. Even with a team of freelancers, freelancers are great for those human interest stories. They are not great for covering serious matters or being like on call for things. And so there's just, you know, some things you're just going to miss.
Sure. Okay. And speaking of interesting stories, do you have some favorites over the years? Some just favorite stories that you've covered, or like where some of your wild, you just see it all, I imagine, with what you're doing.
Right. Well, I think one of the biggest stories that I have covered over my career here in Longmont was the Rita, Garcia story from the beginning, because she went missing very early on in my career in journalism. So we were there covering like the very first press conference all the way through when they finally found her body and the court stuff and all of that. So that was a wild ride.
When was that? 2018?
I think 19, so. Yeah, all of the things blur together. We covered the Marshall Fire. That was a really traumatizing evening. 15 hours on covering that from, you know, started around noon that day all the way to the end, and then back up the next morning. That was really crazy. But there have been a lot of fun stories, like getting to follow some of the kids at St. Vrain School District has been a lot of fun, seeing these kids that, I mean, when I was their age, definitely I was off goofing off a little more than they make me look bad. Let's just say that. But, you know, watching these kids, one of the very first stories I ever got to do was this group of kids that were creating drones to find people out in out in forested areas, remote areas, and they could just send up a signal and the drone would come find them and rescuers could come to get them or something. So some amazing stories have come from there, you know, just learning so much about the community. There's always a nonprofit who's doing something different and amazing. The city they have their little stories here and there that are kind of fun. So, yeah, I mean, right before we switched the Observer to the Leader, I had written over 1,000 stories, and I've not counted since.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's a lot of Longmont.
That was 3 years ago. So I'm going to guess another 1,000 to 2,000 stories. It's hard to remember them all.
Oh, smokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I was thinking of something else, and I'm just like, wow, that's a pretty good clip.
Yeah. There's, I mean, people don't think, like you mentioned, like, oh, crime, it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal. And people don't think there's that many stories in Longmont. There are more stories in Longmont than you could ever dream of.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, and no shade, Times Call's, you know, institution has been around for so long, but I just feel like Longmont Leader, y'all are just on it a little bit. I mean, I think it's a more, there's more stories focused on, like, because now it's just so Boulder and Longmont, and so much of the content is really shared between Times Call and the camera. And I just feel like, yeah, I mean, it's fine. They cover it and they, but Longmont Leader, I appreciate for just the volume of, and the variety, like you said, from human interest stories to the school district, everything. And yeah, there's some overlap, but I think it's a better source overall, like in terms of full coverage of Longmont.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. It's a lot of work. It's a labor of love and love I've had for almost 7 years now.
Nice. Well, what's the future? I mean, where do you think this kind of, not just for the Longmont Leader, but also small town journalism, and what's the future hold?
The future for small town journalism is always on the rocks. Never know what's going to happen next. Funding's always a big deal. You have to be able to pay somebody to do this. I mean, I did volunteer to do this when it was The Observer, and it took a lot of time. Like, it was 40 hours, sometimes 80 hours a week, depending on the week and how much help I had. It takes a lot. So you have to have a funding mechanism. So who knows what the future of that holds? All of journalism, no matter how big or small you are, you're all in the same boat as far as that goes. And as far as the Leader goes, we're going to keep going until we can't go any longer and just keep trucking along. So
do you guys have people calling and reaching out to you who are, you know, doing media outreach or media relations for whatever?
Every day. Honestly, spend probably the first hour to 2 hours of my day doing nothing but sifting through story ideas. Does this belong to Longmont? No. Okay, like that one I can just toss to the side. Or how important is this one? Yeah, so there's a lot of people who just reach out, and we always welcome that, to send us their stories as much as possible. Especially since it's just me, it's hard for me to create the news and be in the middle of everything that's happening at the same time. So I appreciate the community's help when they send me tips, and you know, I have residents who will email me, hey, I heard about this, can you follow up? Absolutely. And we do our, you know, I do my best.
Nice.
Yeah. So
have you considered doing any more of the Observer style work where people from the community would submit, or soliciting that more than just maybe somebody giving ideas?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a few people who have done that as well, where they've just said, hey, I can write. I have this story. Would you want to publish it? And so we take that on as well. And then we also have a lot of people who just write in letters to the editor, and they want to share their stories that way.
I was almost hit on Homer Street.
Well, not that I've gotten many of those, but I get the whole truck.
Do you not get like truckloads of mail about like the state of traffic lights?
I do not, really? Actually. Yeah, I don't feel like people think that I'm a platform for that, which is probably true. I'm not going to sit. It's not the TC line. I feel like that's kind of where people outlet to. We don't have that at the Leader.
I waited in the dead of night for 4 minutes. It is a stale, they call it a stale green. I was stuck on the red set. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, just go. Like, there's like laws about how long you have to wait.
Dude, every time I sit at the light on Main Street coming into town from the south,
the horrible light, Maiden to Ken Pratt, or whatever.
I think about your little haiku that you read one time. It's like, I don't know, it was like something that you read from Reddit, and you're like, this is like a red light haiku. Yeah. And I think about it every time because it's just like,
it's the worst.
Four cars, you wait.
Well,
a whole light, four cars, wait. Anyway, we're trying not to divulge into traffic.
No, this is the traffic graph. This is what we do.
And I did just say I don't complain about traffic, and I did just complain
about
traffic.
We absolutely complain about this. All we do. But, like, there's a lot of lights in town where you pull up to the green arrow, and it's like four cars go, and the first guy's, like, playing. Well, I don't know what people play on their phones these days, Candy Crush or whatever. Yeah. It's like, oh, I gotta go.
Candy Crush.
You know, they go howling through, and the guy just tags on, and then the next guy's like, well, thanks.
Yeah.
That's Longmont.
Yeah, yeah.
So what is the most red? Like, is it, do you tend to, because I'm sure you have stats on like what's red more, right? Is readership stronger in more of your human interest stories? Is crime the number one?
Crime will always win. I just think people love knowing what's going on. So our police report, our daily police report, is probably the most read thing.
You're kidding.
But weirdly, across the entire Village Media organization, which has over, I think, between 40 and 50 newsrooms, it changes all the time. They add more. So at this point, I can't count. They're throughout Ontario, Canada, right? And that's where the base of our operations are. We have a story that was written by someone at the Longmont Observer, and it still tops the charts and still beats everyone there. And it's about magnesium and how much your body needs and how you should get it naturally. It's a great article about
magnesium.
No, that is so random. This is like 4 years ago, and it still beats everyone in all of Village Media. And they've got some great stories in Canada.
How funny.
I'll say that, like, the subreddit is they're always asking about the sugar mill. And then it's always like, where's it safe to, like, live? Where's the crime really bad? Where's the crime really bad? What's the bad parts of Longmont?
For pity's sake.
That's it. Like, that's – I'm moving
to
Longmont.
There are no bad parts in Longmont.
I know. But it's always like, I'm moving to Longmont. Like, once a week you get the same thread. I'm moving to Longmont and I just want to know, like, what's the bad parts? What should I watch out for? And it was like, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, what do you want? What's your budget? Like, it's fine, and then it gets really nice. Like, what do you want? Yeah. And that's like, that's the crime scene.
Yeah, there are a couple of streets that I would not live on in Longmont just because I've read too many times some police activity at this whatever.
Fair enough.
But no, overall, it's
if there's anyone who has the right take on this, it's definitely you.
Thank you.
Literally know it back and forth.
yeah, definitely. Like, there's, you know, weirdly, I know people around each of these areas that I think of, and I'm like, yeah, you should be careful. This happened in your area again.
But it's always the, like, person up, like, I live at McIntosh Lake, and it is so sketchy here. I would never let my children walk to the lake. It's like, no, wrong neighborhood.
No,
it's like,
so busy. Since COVID, this place is overrun.
Oh, I know.
I can't find a spot to spread my blanket anymore. And me and my six dogs, I can't keep them still. And I just,
and it's like, that thread shows up
Our
a lot.
Our friend calls it Lake-a-palooza up there in the summers.
It is crazy. Like, it used to be very calm and you could pull up anywhere, do whatever. Now it is. It's like everyone's there all the time.
It's wild. Yeah. It's a party up there.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy. I mean,
it's kind of fun though.
That Lou Miller for Goose Poop, like, kind of unparalleled, you know? Like, you want to go and get
speak of comeback parks, although not that it's a comeback at McIntosh, evolving parks. I feel like Lou Miller is just having this, like, new, awesome, like, it's a cool park now. It's
we'll glow up.
Yeah, totally. Between the new playground that they got and the frisbee golf that goes on, and there's people out there fishing, and, like, it's pretty. It's so – but that was, like, the shady, not good park where, like, the kids were smoking, you know, whatever from high school, and there's goose poop everywhere, which there still is. But now it's just, like, it's had a rebrand. It's
I saw some kids smoking left-handed cigarettes at Roosevelt Park, and Eric, who founded the show, was like, oh, that park is, you know, it's la-di-da, it's pretty ritzy, you know? And it's like, nah, man, there's two kids smoking the old jazz cigarettes or whatever, and, like, kind of everywhere. It's a park. You get kids get together, you know, can't do this in the backyard because mom's home, so I'm going to find a place to go, and it's nice, but you're right. Lumen is a nice park.
It's gotten so nice, nice. I have a question about parks. Did you cover the whole story up at what's the park at Collier and like 19th? What's that one called?
Oh, this is good. This will make for
hang on.
Riveting radio.
There's Spangler that's a little bit farther down. Then we go up. I feel like it starts with an L at Collier and 19th.
I don't know. There are lots of parks in Longmont.
But I feel like there was a ton of transients in that park for a while there, especially in COVID. And there was a very successful, like, neighborhood effort that did, like, a formal organization of there's a name for it.
Mm-hmm.
And they've, like, done a really good job cleaning up this park or whatever you want to call it, like, just doing what their objective was. And I want to get the full story on that.
Yeah,
I did not write those stories. Those stories were written by colleagues, but I did get to edit them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I mean, I think that, you know, it's a combination effort. From what I understand, It's a combination effort from the community members
right.
who reached out to the city of Longmont and said, we need to do stuff here because it's getting out of hand. And they pitched in, and the city pitched in, and they created something that's really wonderful that is helping one of the areas that was of concern.
Exactly.
Grow into something that's
yeah.
positive, and the neighborhood, they're doing their job. They're looking out exactly. after their park, and they're partnering with the city to get it done. So, I mean, I think that's the gist of what's
yeah.
evolved there.
Have you found the name of that park?
Man, there's a bunch. There's no. like Rough and Ready Park.
No. It's okay, Blood a little bit Harbor. Farther.
There's nope. Clark Centennial. We've got, this is great. See, this is better than traffic.
Yeah.
This is so much hotter than traffic.
No,
we're just going to name parks on the east side of Maine.
Lanyon.
Lanyon Park. Lanyon. Oh, yeah.
Lanyon.
There we go.
Yeah.
We've done it. We've cracked the code. I thank everybody for staying with us as we've gone through this.
It could have gotten really, I mean, there are lots of parks in this town.
There are a lot of parks in this town. And it's nice because I live over in the Old Town area, and like you walk the dogs and you walk right through, and then there's another one and another one. And it's nice. Like, it's wonderful to have that sort of investment in town. Now just give me a protected bike lane that I can use to go to the grocery store.
So when you're covering all the events and things going on in Longmont, is it ever hard to, do you want to go to all of them, or do you just, is it hard to like pick and choose where you want to like spend your time?
It is
know everything.
It is absolutely difficult. And the difficult thing is balancing my personal life. I mean, I'm a single mother of two boys. One's a senior in high school. One's in seventh grade. They're active kids. They're off doing their thing, and I want to be a part of their life. So balancing those things with the duty and of being this only reporter for the Leader. So, you know, sometimes I get lucky and I get some freelancers who will step in, especially on weekends and things like that. And sometimes I'm like, no, that is my event. I'm going to that because I can't not go to that because it's too much fun. Or sometimes, like, they come too, and then I add into their stories. So, yeah, it is hard to choose sometimes. And it's also hard to say, oh, no, I have a thing. Sorry. Because I always feel personally like I'm disappointing the entire town when I tell people no.
Couldn't make it, guys.
I'm sorry.
No coverage here.
but, yeah, I mean, it's a balancing act. And, it's one that I learn how to navigate here and there. And sometimes I have to give up on my thing to go do that thing because you have to recognize what's really, really important to the town and make sure that's covered. And if no one else can do it, then it falls on me. And I happily step up.
What's the biggest change or most noticeable change that you think has taken place over your years of covering Longmont, like to the community? What significant change have you seen the most?
I think the biggest thing is, I'm trying to remember exactly where we were population-wise, but I want to say it was about 95 when we started, maybe a little lower. But the population, even though it's, 5,000 people doesn't sound like it's a lot of people.
Probably more, though, than that, yeah.
Yeah, at this point. But it's changed how this city has to operate, whereas before it was still very much oriented into a small town community feeling, like that's how the legislation worked, that's how the school district worked, things like that. But now it's become such an urban center that, the city really had to pivot on how they're approaching things like affordable housing and development and things like that. So it's completely even changed the way that you report on how that works. And then, how the community reacts to that as well. And so I think that's the biggest impact this community has seen, and the thing that we're struggling to figure out how to go from being this small agricultural town mindset to being an urban center in Boulder County. It's been tough.
Yeah, speaking of story ideas, like this is another topic that comes up less frequently, but is debated very intensely. And then there will be people that crawl out of the woodwork and they're like,
we need to make it so nobody can come here anymore. Shut the gate,
you know, and that's it. Like, last one in, shut the gate, we're done. Like,
well, they will eventually.
Yeah, and I mean, it'll happen, but then there's a lot. The other camp is, like,
18,000 people from now.
We want to build higher in, you know, in the high density areas, particularly at Main Street and some of the other areas in town, and like make it dense and have all the things that you can have when you have a vibrant urban center, like better transit and all of the things, like better restaurants and all the stuff that that affords. But it's very much a tale of two cities, because there's people that have lived here, I mean, since they were born, or they moved here early or whatever. And like, oh, I'm 40, 50, 60, 70 years old. I've lived here my entire life. I've seen these changes. I don't like it, you know? And then there's people who are like, yeah, but I embrace it. I didn't like the one traffic light scene. I didn't like the old, like, all the stuff that we take stick for. It was like, oh, you got a car walking down the middle of the road and people are shooting guns in the air. Like, that type of thing. We mm-hmm. get that all the time. And so I think there's just these two camps, and like walking the line. And I personally think the city council's done a pretty good job of guiding things. And we could always do better, but I think we've done a pretty good job of like walking the line of like, keep people happy, move forward and all those things. But there's a big story to tell, and like the trajectory of the town and talking about where we want to go, I think.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. This town definitely has its opinions on which way they would rather it be. But, you know, you're not going to stop people from moving here, and you're not going to stop the affordable housing conversation, and you're not going to stop the development at this point, because there are too many people who are struggling just to have a home.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think it tugs at everyone's heartstrings one way or another. And it'll be an ongoing conversation for a very, very long time.
Right. And there's so many people that are, like you say, frustrated. It's like, oh, homeownership, I can't, you know, and then water usage. And it's very, very hotly debated. And another bone of contention. $2.
Well, I hope that you are the person continuing to report on that conversation for a very long time.
Thank you.
As well. Yeah. And just, yeah, hats off. We really love Longmont Leader, and we appreciate you covering our small town and all of our topics that we find important to our lives. They are important, and what you're doing is important. You know, we can hem and haw about, like, your joke about it being so small town. It's insignificant, but ultimately, I think what happens in your small town probably affects you, you know, more than anything else. Like, the farther away you get, the less it has an impact on your everyday life.
Exactly. I mean, there's a reason they say that, you know, your local small town journalism is the most important. Those are the most important politics and whatever. It's impacting exactly where you live. Your voice should be heard there.
Right.
You should be involved there. Yeah. Because it matters. And you have a place in that community. Whether or not you step into it is your decision. But you have a place, you can make change. And it's amazing how many people in this town have had just some idea and then made huge change. And this building, Longmont Public Media, is one of those. Longmont Leader ultimately is one of those. And those are just the ones I've had my hand in.
Right.
There are far more people doing far more amazing things in this town with just a simple idea of, I want change.
Yep. Right on. Well, I think we'll let our listeners go, and we've got some fun stuff lined up already for 2024, so keep tuning back in. We had a guest or a listener write in with a guest idea just today, actually, that I think we'll follow up on, and yeah, and we'll also hopefully be sharing some of those via longmontleader.com, so keep an eye out for that and spread that. Let people know that Longmont Leader has all the best news coverage, including Side Dish.
It's got us. It's better than anybody.
Yeah.
Thank promo. You. Yeah.
We're excited
to have you guys on, yeah, for
thank
sure.
Thank you. Yeah. We're excited. Hopefully we can, you know, be like the Saturday morning coffee style content.
We can just try to make that happen every Saturday morning. I don't have anything stuck there.
Yeah. Whatever. Whatever is best. You know your audience. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, we are going to head out, but we thank Andy Epler and David Cutter Music for our intro and outro music. And hit us up at sidedishlongmont@gmail.com with any comments. And we'll see you next week. 2 weeks from now.
Peace out.